Hello everybody, this is Osho Radio. To get in the mood for the dancing music, we start the program with a remix of Raji's song called You're Only Asking to Be Myself. It's a pretty transcendental piece of music, and especially for those of you who like to hop and hover around, here we go! The discourse today is from a Zen series called Zen, Zest, Zip, Zap, and Zing. It is a book full of questions of seekers on the path. This one is from the third chapter, question number one. Somebody is telling Osho that she's been reflecting on compassion and love for some time and asks him to explain the difference. After the next song called Voices of Love by Omkar, you can listen to the discourse. Enjoy!
Il respiro the first question. Bhagwan, I have been reflecting on the difference between feeling sorry for someone and having compassion. It seems to me that to be sorry for someone has an element of condescension in it, as if you were superior to the other, and that it does not necessarily have anything to do with love, whereas compassion must be an integral part of loving. Please comment. The first and the most important thing to remember is that reflecting is not going to help at all. Reflecting is nothing but a beautiful word for thinking. The blind man can go on thinking about light. He can arrive to certain conclusions too, but those conclusions cannot be right. Howsoever right they appear to be, they are bound to be false, untrue. The moon in the sky is one thing, and the moon reflected in the silent lake is totally another. One exists, the other is only a reflection. If you jump into the silent lake, you will not be able to catch hold of the moon. On the contrary, you may disturb even the reflection, because the lake will be disturbed. The more you think, the more you are creating waves and ripples in the mind. The real thing to do for the blind man is not to think about light, but to cure his eyes. For the deaf, not to reflect on music, but to go through some alchemical processes which can make him hear. That's the difference between reflection and meditation. Meditation opens your eyes. Reflection is thinking with closed eyes. Meditation is seeing, and thinking is remaining blind. But thinking can give you great conclusions, very logical too. In fact, only thinking can give you logical conclusions. Meditation will give you very paradoxical experiences, illogical or supralogical, but never logical. Existence consists of contradictions. It is vast enough to contain all contradictions. It consists of polar opposites. They appear opposites to the logical mind, but they are complementaries deep down in reality. They exist together in a kind of simultaneity. Meditation in English again has the same flavor as reflection. In English there is not a word which can be said equivalent to dhyana or zen. So we have to use the word meditation that comes the closest. But few conditions have to be put upon it. The moment you use the word meditation, the immediate question arises on what? Because meditation in the English language means meditating upon something. And the word dhyana or zen simply means emptying yourself from all thinking. It is not a question of meditating upon something. Meditation is a state of absolute silence, of profound peace, of not thinking at all, but just being aware. Only in that awareness you will be able to see the truth. You say that I have been reflecting on the difference between feeling sorry for someone and having compassion. And you can see immediately the difficulty. Feeling sorry for someone and having compassion are exactly the same. The person who knows what compassion is cannot say, I am having compassion. He is simply compassionate. Having compassion is not possible. Either you are compassionate or you are not. It is not a question of having. If you are having compassion, it is the same in different words, feeling sorry. But language can give you great scope to play games, mind games. Feeling sorry and having compassion are synonymous. Of course, feeling sorry, having compassion are synonymous, but feeling sorry and being compassionate are not synonymous. Being compassionate is a totally different phenomenon than having compassion. Having compassion, again you will have that idea that I am far superior than the others. Look how much compassion I have got. And compassion is not something that you can possess. It is not something that you can have. You can only be. Know the difference between having and being. But you have been groping, and something significant has arisen out of your groping. You say, it seems to me that to be sorry for someone has an element of condescension in it, as if you were superior to the other. Yes, even the blind man can grope for the door and can sometimes find it. But still he will not be able to see it. It is just accidental. That's why you are not certain. Seeing has absolute certainty about it. Seeing is knowing. And knowing is not approximate. You say, it seems to me. Naturally, if you are reflecting, at the most it can seem to you that this is the door. perhaps this is the door. The perhaps will always surround you, and with the perhaps one is in a kind of bondage. There will be ifs and buts. You will never be on a certain ground, and without being on a certain ground, you cannot be centered. There will remain some wavering. Maybe it is so, maybe it is not so. It seems, you say to me, that to be sorry for someone has an element of condescension in it. It has. There is no question of being uncertain about it. In fact, people enjoy being sorry for others. They are always looking for situations where they can feel sorry for others. It is so ego-fulfilling. It is such a nourishment for the ego. If somebody's house is on fire, you go with tears in your eyes and you show all sympathy. You show much concern, as if you are immensely pained. But deep down, if you watch, you will find a certain joy, a certain glee. But people never look within themselves. It is bound to be there. For two reasons: that it is not your house that is on fire, first thing. Thank God. Secondly, you must be enjoying your tears. Because when somebody makes a new house, a beautiful house, you feel jealous. Great envy arises in you. You cannot enjoy. You cannot participate in his joy. You want to avoid. You don't even look at his house. If you cannot participate in the joy of others, how you can feel sorry when they are in trouble? If you feel jealous when they are joyous, then you will feel joyous when they are in trouble. The idea of feeling superior to the others is present in both the cases, whether you feel sorry or you are having compassion. And you say, and that it does not necessarily have anything to do with love. Certainly it does not necessarily have anything to do with love. Not only that, it is anti-love, because it is an ego trip, and ego can never be in tune with love. Ego is poison to love. It is necessarily anti-love. Your compassion is not out of love. If some desire of being superior is being fulfilled by it, the lover never feels superior. The lover cannot feel superior. The lover cannot even think that he has obliged anybody. On the contrary, when somebody receives your love, you feel obliged that your love was not rejected. It could have been rejected. Your love was respected. welcomed. You feel obliged, you feel thankful, you feel grateful. And you say, whereas compassion must be an integral part of loving. No, compassion is higher than love. Love is an integral part of compassion, but compassion is not integral part of love. That's the difference between thinking and meditation. These three things are to be taken note of. The lowest love is sex. It is physical. And the highest refinement of love is compassion. Sex is below love. Compassion is above love. Love is exactly the middle. Very few people know what love is. 99% of people, unfortunately, think sexuality is love. It is not. Sexuality is very animal. It certainly has the potential of growing into love, but it is not actual love, only potentiality. A seed is not a flower. It can become a flower, but there is no certainty, no guarantee that it is going to become a flower. It may die as a seed. If you put it on a rock, it will not sprout into a bush, into a flowering tree. It will die. If you throw it in fire, it will die. Sex has the potential of love, but only the potential, remember. It is the seed. There is no need to deny it, because if you throw the seed, if you deny the seed, then love disappears. That's why in the so-called religious people, you will not find love and its warmth. You will find them cold, dead, without love. Yes, they will be having compassion. They will feel sorry for you because you are hell-bound, and they are going to heaven. Naturally, they feel sorry for you, poor souls. You will suffer hellfire, and they will be enjoying the pleasures of heaven. There is no love at all, but they are having compassion. And having compassion is a pseudo thing. It is not the true compassion. They have denied sex, and in denying sex, they have denied love. Sex has to be used in the right perspective. It has not to be repressed. It has not to be denied. And you are not to remain confined to it either. No repression, no indulgence. The path is very subtle. Sex either becomes indulgence, as it has become in the West, or it becomes repression, as it has become in the East. On one side, there is a well. If you fall, on another side, there is a ditch. You have to walk between the two. Certainly it is a razor's edge, a tightrope walking. You have to remain very balanced. And the functioning of the mind is such that it moves from one polarity to the other. It is exactly like the pendulum of an old clock. It goes from the right to the left, extreme left, and from the extreme left again to the extreme right. And remember the law. While you see the pendulum moving towards the left, it is gaining momentum to go to the right. While it is going actually towards the right, it is gaining momentum to go to the left. So don't be deceived what you see. Something inside is growing which is just the opposite of what you are seeing. The repressed person is always ready to go into indulgence. All the repressed societies are boiling, ready to go into indulgence. And they find ways and means to go into indulgence. For example, this country has repressed sex for thousands of years. And the natural outcome has been a backdoor indulgence. In Indian temples, prostitutes have existed. In the South, still, even today, in the 20th century, temples are having prostitutes. They are not called prostitutes. Indians are very clever in giving beautiful names to ugly things. They are called Devadasis, servants of God. And who are these gods? First, the priest. Initiates them into sex indulgence. And then the rich clients who come to the temple. These are the gods whom they serve. But they are supposed to serve the stone statue of the god inside the temple. That is just a facet. Now in India, prostitution can exist only in a religious garb. Sex has been such a taboo that you have to find some way to make it religious. All this nonsense has happened because sex was repressed. In the West, sex became indulgence. Both are wrong. But that's how the mind is. It always goes from the frying pan to the fire. It cannot stay in the middle. Because to stay in the middle is the death of the mind. That's what I call meditation. If you can stay exactly in the middle, the clock stops. If the pendulum stays in the middle, hold the pendulum in the middle, and the clock stops. And hold yourself exactly in the middle. Avoid the extreme and the axis, and suddenly you will see that mind has stopped. Mind functions almost like a clock. Sex is a potential, great potential. If you become aware and alert, meditative, then sex can be transformed into love. And If your meditativeness becomes total, absolute, love can be transformed into compassion. Sex is the seed, love is the flower, compassion is the fragrance. Compassion has love as one of its ingredients, but not vice versa. Love is not compassionate. You can see it everywhere. Lovers are continuously fighting. They are intimate enemies, continuously at each other's neck. Yes, once in a while, just to rest, they are loving too. But those love breaks are far and few in between. Otherwise, there is constant struggle, fight. The woman is nagging, that is her way of fighting. And the man is always ready to hit hard on the woman's head. In fact, people think when you don't fight, your love has died. Psychologists also agree with these fools. They say that if you don't fight, that means you are not interested. If you don't fight, that simply means it does not matter. If it matters, then you have to fight. Lovers are fighting. There is no compassion. There is cruelty. It is violence. It is aggression. Lovers don't have compassion on each other. The word compassion has to be understood. When passion is transformed, it is called compassion. When passion goes through absolute transformation, it is compassion. Love is a stage on the way, but not the end. Buddha has defined compassion as love plus meditation. When your love is not just a desire for the other, when your love is not only a need, when your love is a sharing, when your love is not that of a beggar, but that of an emperor, when your love is not asking for something in return, but is ready only to give, give for the sheer joy of giving, then add meditation to it. And then the pure fragrance is released. The imprisoned splendor is released. That is compassion. Compassion is the highest phenomenon. Sex is animal. Love is human. Compassion is divine. Sex is physical. Love is psychological. Compassion is spiritual. And again, let me remind you that it is not having compassion. It is being compassion. You can have sex. You can have love, but less than sex. But you cannot have compassion. You become compassion. Your very being is compassion. Walking, you are compassionate. Sitting, you are compassionate. Sleeping, you are compassionate. Whether anybody is there or not does not matter. Your compassion is just like a flame. It goes on burning in absolute aloneness, radiating. If somebody passes by, he can have it with no strings attached to it, with no conditions. Compassion is the experience of the Buddhas, of the awakened. You cannot reflect on these matters. Stop reflecting. Don't waste your energy in reflecting. Put the whole energy into meditation. Become silent, aware, watchful. And in that watchfulness, miracles happen. And everybody is entitled to this miracle of becoming compassion. It is our birthright.
Jana.
Today for the meditation, we're in the mood for love, and the meditation today is from a small book called The Orange Book, full of meditations developed by Osho. This one is called Let Love Making Come by Itself. Before you move into love, just sit silently together for 15 minutes holding each other's hands crosswise. Sit in darkness or in a very dim light and feel each other. Get in tune. The way to do that is to breathe together. When you exhale, she exhales. When you inhale, she inhales. Within 2 or 3 minutes, you can get into it. Breathe as if you are one organism. Not two bodies, but one. And look into each other's eyes. Not with an aggressive look, but very softly. Take time to enjoy each other. Play with each other's bodies. Don't move into lovemaking unless the moment arises by itself. Not that you make love, but suddenly you find yourself making love. Wait for that. If it does not come, there is no need to force it. It is good. Go to sleep. No need to make love. Wait for that moment for 1, 2, 3 days. It will come one day. And when that moment comes, love will go very deep, and it will not create the madness it is creating now. It will be a very, very silent, oceanic feeling. But wait for that moment. Don't force it.
Num tananu tadaritani de de dim tanaderena. Num tananu tadaritani de
We are getting to the end of the program. We started today with music by Raji and Omkar. After the discourse, you listen to Manish Vijas and Andvicha, and we will finish today with a short composition by Kitaro. Bye bye everybody, have a good week. I hope we will meet again soon on Osho Radio. Namaste.